Father, blessing that I cannot yet see. I want to say,
thank you, Lord.
I give up all. Read the song of praise. Read my ancestors stretch out. I will bless your name. Read a grateful Lord. Read the song of praise. And with my ancestors stretch to you, Lord. Hey, I say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
I trust you are good. I trust everybody is doing great. Yes, you're welcome to Resurrection Sunday, as everybody call it. Easter Sunday. So happy Easter. So you could tell the person beside you, if anybody's beside you, that happy Easter. So now we're going to be thanking God. We're going to be praying. We're going to be thanking God, first of all, for the revelation of this season. Jesus came, he died, he was buried. But thank God he resurrected. Thank God for the resurrection. If he had not resurrected, we would be among all men the most miserable. There would be no celebration. But there is celebration because Jesus resurrected. And today we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to save us. He came for our redemption. He came to redeem us. And we are redeemed in him. We have been accepted in him. In that redemption, we have received forgiveness of sins. Can somebody just lift up your hands and say, Father, I thank you. Just thank God. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you because in you I have been redeemed. Thank you because I have been redeemed. I have received forgiveness of sins. Can somebody just lift up his hands and say, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is Ephesians 1:3. Then later, going down in that chapter, he says again that in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Can you just thank God? Father, I thank you because I have redemption in you, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of your grace. See somebody thanking God. Father, I will thank you. Father, I will thank you for absolute forgiveness. Father, I will thank you for remission, for forgiveness. Father, I will give you praise. Men and Edibra Hakta Lagadosa, Ignegedese, Ignegedese, Mendelegedibra Gadosu Fedisa. Father, I will thank you. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Mondolo Godoso, Ibregedege Legedese, Kinedibregedosu Fedisa. In Colossians 1, it says that giving thanks unto the Father who hath qualified us, who hath given us the ability, who had made us able partakers of his inheritance of his in Christ Jesus, and he has forgiven us all our sins. The same thing again, in whom we have received redemption and forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. Mondolo godoso, mondolo godoso. He bregedegelegedi bregedoso fidisa. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. Ignegedosa, ignegedoso. Mondolo godi bregedegelegede. He bregedegelegedi bregedoso fidisa. Ignagadasa, ignagadasa. Is somebody giving thanks to God? Mandala gadosa, mana nadi bregedoso. Mobro godogolo godi bregedoso fidisa. This season is the reason why we have victory. This season is the reason why we are triumphant. This season is the season that marks our victory over anything, over this world. Mondolo godoso. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for the finished work we have obtained in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for the finished and perfect work that Jesus came to do. Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus, and we thank you for his resurrection. We thank you. We thank you. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Can somebody just pray in the Holy Ghost? Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Mondolo godoso, ibro godogolo godoso, monono dibre hektelegedegelegede, mendelegedibregedoso fedisa. Jude 20. He says that about beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, you rise like an edifice, you make progress. Mondolo godoso, ibregedegelegede, ibregedegelegede, ignegedegelegede, ibregedoso fidisa, ignagadagalagadasa, ignagadagalagadasa. We make progress, we rise like an edifice. Igned hectelegede, mendelegedi, bregedogologodo, mobrogodogologodi, bregedegelegede, ignegedoso, 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 mondolo godi. Ibregedegelegedisa, kinadagalagadasa, kinadagalagadasa, ibregadagalagadasa, mondolo godi bregedegelegedese, kinenedegelegede, kinenedegelegede, ibrehectelegedi bregedegelegede, movrogodogologodi bregedosifidisa, itnedegelegedi bregedosifidisa.
As I pray in the Holy Ghost, I build up myself on my most holy faith. I make progress. I rise like an edifice. Father, we thank you. Can you just lift your hands and say, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Victorious breath in the house, say,
hallelujah.
You have won it all for me.
You have won it all.
That is why I can lift my hands.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have won the victory. You want to shout it?
Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have won it all.
Shandelier,
sing it one more time. Sing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. We have won the victory. Shinanone, Shinanone, you have won it all.
Come on, can we all lift our voices one more time? Hallelujah! Of the song, you are
the reason, King.
That is why we stand in victory and declare, you're seated in majesty.
Seated in majesty.
and we're seated together with him. You are the reason, King.
You are the reason, King.
With your hands lifted high, just the voices alone. Death could not hold.
Death could not hold you down.
You are the reason, King.
You are the reason, King.
You are seated in majesty.
Seated in majesty.
You are the reason.
You are the reason, King.
So I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever. And the child of God want to declare, I love you forever. I love you forever. Oh, oh, oh. Chandelier. Mina donele. I love you forever, Lord. Sing it again. I love you forever. Hey, la dosha. Chandelele bo sianalele, chandelele. Yeah, I love you, love you, love you. Mananosia, oh oh oh. Hey, forever, ikanosia. Hey, woo! You wanna lift your hands and say, I worship forever. Your hands lifted high. Sing it one more time. I worship, worship, worship. Eh, eh. Shandolele, shandolele. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You want to sing it, woman? Say, I worship. Shandolele, shandolele.
Glory,
give him the glory.
Glory to God.
Sing it one more time.
I love you forever.
Well, sometimes I want to say.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to welcome you to this morning's service. All right. So if you have anyone around you, go ahead and say Happy Easter. Happy Easter to every one of us. The season is the reason why we have victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Victory over sicknesses. Glory to God. Victory over confusion. Victory, victory, victory over sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Victory, victory to be identified with Christ Jesus. Victory, hallelujah, victory in all ramification of our lives and our destinies. We've got victory all the way, glory to God. So it's a good Easter, a happy Easter. Jesus rose for this reason, he died for this reason, glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All right, we're going to be taking our confession. We're going to be saying those things that you and I believe, all right? Those things that mark our faith. We're going to be saying that together. So I'd like you to say with me as I begin the confession. Hallelujah. All right, I am God's child. Glory to God. I am born again by the word and the spirit. I am God's heir and joined heir with Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of God's divine nature. I am a partaker of his righteousness and his love. Glory, glory, glory. I am a partaker of his life and light. I am in Christ, the anointed one and the anointed with his anointing. I am always filled with the Spirit. I am always led by the Spirit. My life is motivated by the Spirit and regulated by the Word. I am Spirit assisted in all that I do. I function supernaturally in this natural world. Hallelujah. I am ever fruitful, never barren, nor unproductive. Amen. I never stumble, neither am I ever confused, because light is in me, because illumination is in me, because clarity is in me. Hallelujah. Sickness, disease, and death bow to me, because I have the life of God. Nothing dies within or around me, and I'm never caught unawares. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Give God praise. Give God praise for every one word. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Praise God. Praise God. All right. So, I believe you're good. I believe it's, you know, it's a wonderful day. It always is. It always is. It always is. Oh, welcome again to our Sunday morning radio church, to our Resurrection Sunday celebration, our Easter Sunday celebration. Of course, we've been through that debate before, right? Is it Easter? Is it not Easter? Did Jesus die in April or not? You know he didn't die in April. You know the drama. All right, but anyway, so we're clear, we're good. All right, praise God. So good morning. All right. In the next few minutes, we'll just jump right into why we exist. Okay. So this is why we exist. It was this weekend that the church, you know, as it were, was born. This is the weekend we were celebrating, if you get my context. All right. This is when the church was born. All right. There was no church, you know, until this entire process of his death, burial, and resurrection, you know, happened. So let's begin from 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, because very many times it's easy to say, I know Jesus and then I believe in Jesus. But you have to understand that your being born again is not just about believing in Jesus. You need to hold your horses and then understand where I'm going. Just follow me, all right? Well, I know you are. So it's not just believing in Jesus. Issue is, what do you believe about Jesus? Sometimes when you get into some further discussions with some people, you know, because we are word folk and then we hang around a whole lot of ourselves. So we many times don't know how many other people are thinking. So some say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. He was a good man. You know, then you know there's trouble. All right. Some say, oh, I believe in Jesus. I mean, was a good prophet. You know, but if the discourse doesn't go further than I believe in Jesus, all right, you might just assume, oh, this person is born again like I am. This person is, you know, a new creation, a new creature like I am. But nehi, 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 all right, it depends on what exactly is believed, what exactly is confessed, all right. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein in it you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. So he's beginning to lay the point down, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. So this has to be clear, all right, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. You know, it's easy to get carried away with the commercialization, you know, of things happening all over the world. And while it's fun, you know, I mean, in Nigeria, we don't have customs like the Easter Bunny, you know, no, but maybe if you're a cartoon person and you've watched, what was that again? I know it's Jack Frost. I'm trying to remember what it was. Guardians of something, something. All right, so there was Santa Claus, there was Tooth Fairy, there was Easter Bunny. So, all right, then if you're used to some of these things on TV, so there's the Easter Bunny, all right? So the Easter Bunny lays eggs. So you find families, you know, in the Western world, you know, hiding eggs around, different colors of eggs. You know, I think if you've, you know, if you've had your kids watch Mrs. Patty Cake and so all that, you see a bit of them Easter Bunny talk and all. So, you know, so Easter already has, you know, what it is for. Of course, the most fantastic one is Christmas. You know, that big old fat man that wears a red suit, you know, and then tries to give gifts all over the world within, is it 12 hours now, 48 hours? You know, okay, I think it's 12. It starts at night and it has to end before daylight, you know. So, you know, and as nice and memorable as these events are all over the world, we need to be watchful so that it's not a device, and which could really be a device of Satan, diverting the minds of people away from the core course. All right, many know Santa Claus more than they know Jesus Christ. All right, they appreciate Santa Claus. They look forward to, children are writing letters to Santa Claus, and they don't understand that God answers prayer. So it's Santa Claus. All right, so the point is that while there's a whole lot of festivity, you know, and all of that around these events, there's a core course, all right? So verse 3 again, or 1 Corinthians 15 says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. And he was seen of Peter and the 12. After that, he was seen of, what, above 500, you know, of the brethren, of whom a greater part remain until this time, and some already are asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed upon me.
you know, that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was given to me. Wherefore, whether it is I or they, so we preach, so you believe. Now, if Christ was preached that he rose from the dead, how do you say some that he didn't raise from the dead? But if, you know, I mean, how do you say some that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection, then the Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain and our faith also is in vain. Yes, and we have found witnesses of God, you know, false witnesses, because we have testified that God raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if it be so that the dead be not raised. For if the dead be not raised, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not raised, then our faith is vain and we are yet, you know, in our sins. Then they also that are asleep in Christ perished in vain. And if in this life alone we have hope, we have all men most miserable, all right? Our hope goes beyond this season. Our hope transcends beyond now, because Christ died, was buried, and is resurrected. So we're celebrating resurrection. And our confession to be born again is based on this. In Romans chapter 10, we find, you know, in Romans, you know, chapter 10, verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in your heart which shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. Verse 7, Romans 10 now, Romans 10, I mean verse 7 now, Romans 10, 7. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it, verse 8 now, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, yeah, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So to get born again, everybody, verse 9, you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So this is the cross of Christianity. You don't, like I said earlier, just get into a discourse with someone and then person says, oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, you do? Oh, do? Ah, praise God, praise God. What exactly do you believe about Jesus? And he opens up, you know, sometimes a can of worms, you know, because a person might just believe, well, Jesus was a good man. I mean, Jesus, Mahatma Gandhi, you know, all those nice people. And then you wonder, oh, I thought this guy was born again, you know. So you might need to, for some of you, ask people you're in a relationship with, you might be shocked at what they believe. And they say, ah, Jesus, he's one of the good prophets, very benevolent man, you know. And oh, no. Jesus is the Son of God, all right? The Son of God. Jesus is the incarnate one, all right? He's God in human flesh. All this has to be clear. He was born, you know, of virgin birth, all right? He lived a consecrated life. Bible says he was tempted in all ways and yet without sin. And then he died. He was not a martyr, all right? He was a sacrifice. Remember in John chapter 1, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So he wasn't a martyr, or a martyr is someone who believed, you know, who died believing in something, who died as a, you know, you die for something. Jesus wasn't dying for something. It was the sacrifice himself. All right, he was the end of all the practices we find in the Old Testament, the end of everything. All right, he's the end of the law, the end of the prophets, the end of the sacrifices and offerings. It was the end, it was a completion, it was a fulfillment. It was there from the beginning, of course, in a hidden, as it were, form, but then it was made manifest, like Paul said in Galatians 1, you know, in due time, was revealed to us. All right, no, that'll be Galatians 4 now. You know, in due time, he showed up, you know, in due season at the appointed time, in the fullness of time, the Bible calls it. All right, so our faith, you know, is not just careless faith, our faith, you know. So yes, as business people, you know, some of us at some of the festive seasons, you know, you say, oh, Eid al-Fitr to my, you know, Muslim brothers and sisters, or brothers and sisters because of humanity. So that's fine, or humanity, human brethren. All right, but then there's a different family now. There's a household of faith. All right, if you go to India, there are multitudes of religions. All right, I think about what now? Maybe a million. There could be one to a family itself or something. All right, so at that point, you will need to be sending different greetings to different people. at different times of their different celebrations. You know, if you go to Brazil, there are different Mexico. You know, there are different things. You know, these families have their altar. Some mix, you know, Catholic stuff with, you know, a few of, you know, the traditional stuff and everything. But Jesus is not one of the ways to God. He is the way. He is not one of. He is the way. He is the truth. And the word truth, there's the word reality. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. He is. Jesus is the gift of God to the world. All right. John 3:16, which you know. You know, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All right. So someone wonders, oh, why should God send his son to come and die? Is that not something very, very wicked? How can someone just send his son to die? A man just watching his son. I mean, I don't believe in that kind of God. Some of you might have heard, you know, people get involved in such kinds of conversations with you. How could God be so wicked and just watching his son? No, that's sense knowledge. You know, right? That's very myopic, you know, a perspective. God wasn't wicked watching his own son. No, God came in human flesh. Do you understand that now? And God now in him. Someone says, okay, but is God the Father and then is God the Son? How did God become the Father and then God become the Son? All right. These three are one. First John teaches us, all right? There's the Father, then there's the Word, and then we have the Holy Ghost. They are inseparable, all right? So if I say hallelujah, all right? You must have said it where you are. Now, that was you speaking your word. Is that okay? But then there's you, then there's your word, all right? Say hallelujah again. All right, so that was you speaking your word, all right? Then if I say, okay, text me, all right? Then you pick up maybe a normal SMS text or WhatsApp, and then you text me, all right? It was you again typing words to me. That also is from you. So you don't argue and say, well, this is not me. It was just a text. You sent it, so it is you. Your words represent you. Your words emanate from you, all right? So find that God's word comes out of God, okay? And then the fullness of the word is what became flesh. Now, the word existed as a personality, all right, up until we have the son. There was no son. Jesus was not the son of God from the beginning of creation. Jesus became son when he was born by Mary, all right? That was when God identified himself with humanity, all right? He needed to take upon flesh. He needed to become one of us. It had to be so. Someone says, why did he have to be so? So first line of thought I was answering, okay, why did God, you know, if he wasn't wicked, why then would he just watch his son die? Come on, it was wisdom. You know, if you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, verse 8 says, had they not known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God knew that Jesus would come and die and be resurrected. When you know your son is going to be resurrected, you are not sending your son to come and sacrifice himself and then he dies forevermore. No. But in the process of him dying and resurrecting, the wisdom of God is that he becomes man, takes upon the sin of humanity. Then he suffers for humanity. Why? The wages of sin, yes, is death. Sin was crying for death. Somebody had to die. Blood had to be shed. God was not the one needing the blood of Jesus. Please understand this. So God is not in heaven fuming like Shango. They need to die. They need to die. They need to die. And then Jesus now comes to beg God with his blood and say, take my blood. Take my blood. And God now says, error. You know, and, you know, so it wasn't God needing blood. No. Sin required blood. Sin was asking for blood. Please understand this. Sin needed blood. Leviticus 17. So that's why we find sacrifices happening all over the Old Testament. Leviticus 17. All right. Hallelujah. Leviticus 17. All right. The 11th verse of Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17, 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Did you get that? Blood is how they atone. It is by blood. So God gave them all the animals. Listen, kill these things and keep atoning for your sins. It is by blood. Let's see the verse again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement. For it is blood that makes an atonement for your soul. Are you getting this now? You have to understand how this thing works. It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. So Jesus, therefore, wasn't coming, you know, to say, oh, God is the one needing, you know, me to die. You know, sin needed, you know, it's like the sin of Adam, yeah, which is actually it. The sin of Adam has been crying for blood. All right, you have to give me blood. You have to give me, you know, because Bible makes it clear. It is blood that atones for the soul. Why? Because there's something about the blood covenant. We'll step into that. Obviously not this morning. Anyway, but you remember as I'm lining it up, the soul that sins shall die. Why? The wages of sin. All right, Romans chapter 3, all right, clearly tells us in 23, the wages of sin is death. That's the wages of sin. So God is not the wages. God is not the one asking for it. Ah, they must die. They must die. No, they sinned. Law states they have to die. But the gift of God, same Romans 3:23, and that's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. So through one man's offense, all right, death reigned in Romans chapter 5. Death spread to all men, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. For all have sinned. How did all sin? Through Adam. So everybody became a sinner, all right? So God gave them sacrifices and offerings, sacrifices and offerings, sacrifices and offerings, sacrifices and offerings. And then they needed to have to find a way to appease, you know, the offering. But glory to God, God's master plan is that Jesus would now come with his own blood, not the blood of goats and blood of bulls, you know. No, he's coming with his own blood once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. Can we do some reading if you don't mind? Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is classic on this blood matter. Hebrews is classic. So how much would you like to read this morning? Glory to God. Let's Hebrews 9 is what now? 28 verses? Are you ready for 28 verses? Okay, I could pick it from what now? Look, we could still okay, we can't escape this Hebrews 9. Let's just pick it from verse 1. Let me run away and then come back. But I was trying to explain 2 points, all right? First point is, so God wasn't wicked looking at this and say, die, oh, die, I don't care, no. But didn't God turn his back away? Didn't Jesus say, my father, why have you forsaken me? That was when Jesus became sin for us, when he became sin. He did it for us. It wasn't the end part. It wasn't the end point. It was just a part of the whole process. That was what it was. It was him needing to become sin and then dying in our place, suffering in our place, and resurrecting with new life. And that's why in Hebrews, since you're still in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 now. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. And the second verse. Beautiful, beautiful verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it wasn't dying to depart from the Father forever. It was a process. Yes, a painful process. Not just painful because he slapped him and beat him, but painful because it was going to become sin, the very thing they despised. But he had to become it to destroy it. Hallelujah. Do you understand that he had to become sin to now neutralize sin? He had to become sin to paralyze sin. He had to take upon himself what Adam put upon humanity. Then he had to die in the place of all humanity so that the whole of mankind can be forever free. The whole of mankind can be forever free from what Adam did, so that in Adam we become sinners, but in Jesus we become righteous. In Adam we become sinners, in Jesus we become righteous. You know, so, but why did God come? Listen, your salvation, my salvation, our salvation was so important, God did not send an angel. God came all the way himself. All right? God came by himself. And 2 Corinthians tells us that. All right? Let me... Amplify puts it better anyway. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, let me just switch Bible. So Amplify puts it better. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 will be a good place to pick from. 2 Corinthians 5. All right, 18... A-M-P-C, here you are. All right, so watch this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. It says, but all things are of God or are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with himself. Now we're going to 19. All right? It was God. I love this. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to himself, not counting up or holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing towards the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. God was personally present in Christ. Hallelujah. The message was so vital, he couldn't send anybody else. You know, so it's not like maybe we grew up, you know, and then we're acting a drama from the book of Isaiah chapter 6, you know, and then God is in heaven sitting with the council, and then God is saying, ha, hey, see them, ha, hey, see their suffering, ha, 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 oh, what shall we do, what shall we do, ha, then God had an idea, who shall we send, who shall go for us, and then there was silence in heaven, and God said, Michael, will you go, Michael said, sir, I'm not anointed enough. You know, and then, and they started passing the ball from one person to the other. Then Jesus now stood up and said, Father, here I am. Send me. You know, so in case you must have acted that drama too when you were younger. You know, but that's not what the Bible said. And that's not what God did. All right. So it wasn't heaven's council sitting down and say, who we send? And then Jesus gets up to say, here I am. Send me. No, it was God personally present. God himself, all right, personally present, God himself becoming man, all right? Do you understand that? It was God, all right? So we find one witness here in 2 Corinthians, all right, chapter 5 and the 19th verse. You find another witness in 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3 and the 16th verse of 1 Timothy 3. Watch this, all right? So I'm using the Amplified. 1 Timothy 3:16, all right? And great and important and weighty, we confess, is the hidden truth, the mystic secret of godliness. It says, God was made visible in human flesh. God, all right, was made visible in human flesh. Maybe you're using the regular King James. I'll read that one out for you. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So find Timothy being told that. We find the Corinthian church being told that. God personally came. It was God. It was God. But he now came in a human form. But you say, but if God, no, God Father is in heaven. The Word. It's like we say, okay, we have, what's now? We have a national... maybe a national celebration, okay, and then everybody was supposed to meet, you know, at the Eagle Square in Abuja, and then the president was supposed to show up, and then he didn't come, but he sent what now? Maybe the minister for information, or maybe it was a sports event, so he sent a minister for youth and sports or something, but it was a president's speech that the man read. When you write the news, you will not say the minister for youth and sports said. You say the president said. It was communicated through the Minister for Youth and Sports, but it was a president's speech he read. Your words can go ahead of you. Your words travel away from you. So find the word of God being written, being spoken. Holy men of old, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were speaking. We now get to John chapter 1, verse 14, and now says, this word shows up as flesh. God is there, but the word of God is now flesh. What's the spirit of God? The same way you have your spirit. God has a spirit. So God is all three in one. Each three having a personality, but each three united. God the Father dwells in unapproachable light. The Word has now taken on human form. So the Word is now human representative. So the first man, as it were, to enter heaven was now Christ Jesus, a person. Glory to God. You and my representative, our high priest. All right. So I've said a whole lot that I can break into many thoughts. Okay. Now, so God showed up. All right. And that's why he could offer that sinless sacrifice. That's why he couldn't be born by man. He needed to just offer that sinless sacrifice. So let's go to the Gospel of John. All right. The 19th verse of the Gospel of John. 19th chapter. John 19. John 19. And the 30th verse. John 19, 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost. So let's go to Matthew. So I'm connecting two very important places now for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So go to Matthew chapter 27. Don't forget, he said, "It is finished." So just for you to enjoy the reading, we could pick from 46, Matthew 27, 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." This is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calls for Elias." And immediately one of them ran and took sponge and filled it with vinegar. So are you connecting where we're coming from in John? Filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come. That's Elijah now, will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice. So Matthew and John, so that's why in wanting to understand, you know, the transaction, the earthly operations of Jesus, you have to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you put it all together. All right. Everybody wrote based on certain perspectives. Everybody put, and then they say, "Oh, these things are conflicting." No, you marry the stories together. Oh, people say, but for instance, now he fed 5,000 in one place, in another place, as if he fed 4,000. There are two different stories. They are conflicting stories. No, they are two different stories. He fed two kinds of multitudes at two different times. You will now find one place in the Bible where those two stories were mentioned. Jesus himself now saying, "When I fed this, when I fed that." So, all right, put that together. So it's not conflicting. Anyway, so Matthew, all right, doesn't tell us he said, "I thirst," and then they brought him vinegar. But we're told, okay, after he said, you know, "Why have you forsaken me?" Then vinegar was brought to him. So, verse 49, and the rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. 50 now says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded of the ghost. Matthew signed on what he said. John says, he said, "It is finished." So you put it all together, all right? So it was John that says, "Oh, he said, it is finished." Matthew said, "He cried again." All right, so obviously he cried, "It is finished," yielded up the ghost. 51 now. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth did quake and rocks rent. Of course, we're now beginning to move to what happened at his resurrection. Because 52 says, and the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out, 53, of the graves after his resurrection. So Matthew just puts together, you know, the tearing of the temple curtain straight together, you know, with resurrection. So you have to read and say, "Oh, this is the part he's talking about here." Then he's back into the story, back here, back there. All right. You know, but Bible says he cried out with a loud voice. So obviously shouting, you know, "It is finished." You know, and then the curtain tears. And I'm glad the curtain didn't tear from bottom all the way to the top. From top. And Bible scholar says that that curtain was about 40 feet high. All right? No human being could have done that at that particular point in time. Nobody. 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 Oh, glory to God. So the curtain tore. But what is the significance of the tearing of the curtain? And now enters the book of Hebrews. All right, so see Hebrews now. All right, because this, like the Christmas story, you know, we could just enjoy it, act it as drama. You know, we would have our three wise men. Well, they might not have been three. You know, then we just act Mary and then Joseph and the baby crying, yeah, yeah. And then everybody singing, you know, oh, holy child of Bethlehem. You know, and then, you know, and then, and that's all. So the same is happening to Easter, all right? You know, so thank God for the fact that a period was chosen annually, you know, to celebrate this. But it's beyond this. So when he cried out and then the temple curtain tore. What happened? Chapter 9 of Hebrews from verse 1. Then verily the first... Listen, don't say, we're reading all that. Listen, if we don't know what is available for us... You know, I sent something to my wife yesterday. I said, we get to sing, oh, covenant keeping God, covenant keeping you, are covenant. And we have many, many songs. And then we pray, Father, you are the covenant keeper. You are the unfailing failure. I mean, no, sorry, unchanging changer. Let me not talk. I'm going to be saying rishi rishi. You know, so, you know, yeah, you know, we say all that, but when we talk about him being a covenant keeper, question is, do you understand the terms of your covenant? Do you? So you have very many believers, now this is me figuratively speaking, you have very many believers driving in the car with their family, all right? And then, what now? What, who doesn't have that right now? You know, maybe let's, if organizer now stops your car on the road and says, where's your particulars? Park your car. And say, honey, let's park. We're responsible citizens. If you're not careful, you're being an ignorant citizen. That's if organizer stopping you on the road. Or maybe Boy Scout. Or who now? One of these people. Maybe Scout. Or because he's wearing uniform. Stops you on the road and says, where's your particulars? Your license has expired. Something, 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 something. I'm told even last man in Lagos is not even expected to do that. It's not their job. Not their job. But if you do not know, then you suffer things you should not suffer. So yes, we tell God he's a covenant keeper, but do we understand the terms of the covenant? If not, we would be living like there is no covenant. And then we say covenant keeper, but is there a covenant? How was David able to defeat Goliath? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David understood something. And that's it. That's where the victory is. All right? So we've got to please. All right? Because in many other services to come, we're going to have to still deal with who we are, what we have, what are the terms of the contract, what is available to us. How do I use my faith? Because your faith can never be expressed in things you do not have an idea of. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So you can only release your faith effectively. That this sickness cannot kill me. He said, why? I know enough of what he has done. So it's not I know the word. No, it's not. You're not bragging. You're saying, no, I know what he's done for me. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was put upon him. If he suffered, I cannot suffer. He couldn't have had sickness and disease put on him, and I'm having the same put on me, and I'm saying maybe it's God's will. No way. Not possible. Not possible. Not possible. God was personally present in Christ. Took away our weaknesses, took away our sins, took away the effect of sin and death upon us. Then he gave us righteousness, made us new creation. Hi. Connected us straight to the blessing of Abraham. This is our victory. So when you don't know the terms of the covenant, when you don't know the benefits, maybe that's what I should even say, because the terms are really not our own terms. It was God in Christ making a covenant on your behalf. Do you remember when God told Abraham to cut animals on God's behalf? So what happened to Abraham? He slept because it was higher than his pay grade. It was not a conversation he was needed in. You go and sleep. When we finish, we'll wake you up. So it was bigger than his pay grade. It was God. So that's why Galatians says that the covenant that God made to Abraham was confirmed in Christ. All right? So it was higher than Abraham's pay grade. So we now wake up and realize there was a covenant made on our behalf. We were born into the benefits of the covenant. Hey, glory to God. We were born into the... We didn't have to say, God, we're in sin. Help us, oh God, the Father, help us now. We're in sin. The devil is suffering us. So please, we want you to make a covenant with us. No. God in his grace, God in his love, God in his mercy made a covenant with us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So this is it. Hebrews chapter 9 from verse 1. Then verily the first covenant. Let me switch to NLT. All right, so NLT, Hebrews 9, coming right up. You know, because as believers, God will have us function in different spheres of the society. Don't go and pick up their mindsets when you get there. Don't pick mindsets up when you get there. All right? You must understand the terms of the nation you belong to. Please. So Hebrews 9 from verse 1. The first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. All right? In the first room were a lampstand, a table, sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Then there was a curtain. Please note curtain. And behind the curtain was a second room. So this curtain we're talking about now is the one that tore when Jesus said it is finished. So please notice what is behind the curtain. All right? Please notice what's behind the curtain. Then there was a curtain, and behold, behind the curtain was a second room called the most holy place. In that room were a golden incense altar, a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside the ark was a jar containing manna, Aaron's staff, which that sprouted leaves, and the tables, the stones, the tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover and the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these in detail now. But please notice what is behind the curtain. Please notice what is behind the curtain. It's where the ark is. It's where the cherubims are. It's where, you know, the tables of stone is. Summarily, for them there, that was where the presence of God was. When these things were in place, I'm in verse 6 now, the priests regularly enter the first room as they perform their religious duties. For only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people, the sins the people had committed in ignorance. But please note this. Oh, I love this verse. By these regulations now, the Holy Ghost revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely opened as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented was still in use. I need to read this verse again. By these regulations, you can only enter this place, you can enter this one, you enter this one once a year. By these regulations, the Holy Ghost revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely opened, as it wasn't freely open to everybody, as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented was in use. So when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," do you know what the Holy Ghost is saying? It is open. It is open. It is open. Everybody now has a free access. Everybody has a free access. Oh, this is exciting, exciting, exciting. Everybody has a free access. Let me run to 10. Maybe we'll come back to 9. I just want to read something in 10 that touches, you know, this also in the head. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter. Oh, I like it. And so, brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living way through the curtain into the most holy place. I read verse 20 again, by his death. I'm sure someone is feeling, are you saying all this is in the Bible? I've not read it in a very, very, very long time. Yes, so it's in the Bible. And then we have to read it, read it, read it, because we cannot be ignorant of the terms. We cannot be ignorant of the benefits. This will help you have a better understanding of prayer. You know, so you cannot say, you know, when I pray, when I pray, karabu ba 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 ba. Oh, we start from the outer room. Hey, then we pray, then we enter the inner room. Ha, then we now enter, we now enter the holy place. Come on, leave that revelation. As a new creation, you were born in the holy place. You live in the holy place. So yes, maybe what the person is now saying, which I understand, is, you know, when we pray, you know, we're maybe more sense conscious and flesh conscious. Then the further we pray, you know, the noise in the body or from the body and the mind begins to reduce. Then we're now a lot more spiritual. I agree. Don't use temple to explain it. That temple was a type and a shadow, and the Holy of Holies was locked out. The Holy Ghost made it clear. And now that Jesus, by his death, he didn't die when he started praying. When he died and he opened the door. The new and living way opened. That's why in this ministry we don't sing, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Because we don't come and go. We've entered. We've entered once and for all. Hallelujah. We live in that presence. So please don't, I know we may have 1,000 instructors, you know, maybe 10,000 instructors, and we learn very many things from, but there is still the core of the gospel. They can't use revelation to knock it out. As some of you, your prayer is still in the outer court. It's in the outer court. When you pray very well, you now enter inner court. And when you now pray sharply, you now enter, leave that. Please leave it. Please leave it. Please. It will confuse Christians. Will confuse Christians. So I say, yeah, but you know, the Holy of Holies, and I understand that. I understand some of those explanations now. The Holy of Holies, you know, has three parts, and it communicates the spirit, the soul, and the body. You know, so I understand it. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are now the temple? So where are you going from outer court to inner court to? All right? You are now the temple. So I can still use those extensions to explain who you are, but must maintain a new creation mindset in these interpretations. What you now need is a consciousness. Yes, you need to be more spirit conscious than body conscious, than mind conscious, spirit conscious, and that's the point. So, but you are now in that holy place together with your high priest. Isn't it exciting? He still has his own responsibilities as a high priest of the New Testament, but we are with him there. With him, he didn't bounce us, he didn't kick us out. He opened the way and said, oh yeah, everybody, enter. So Hebrews 10:19 again says, and so, brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and a living way through the curtain. Please notice this, through the curtain into the most holy place. 21, and since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into God's holy presence with sincere hearts, trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. We have been clean. We have been clean. We have been clean. You and I have been clean. So when his body was broken, it wasn't just a body broken for us so that we would never be sick. The breaking of his body was the rendering of the curtain of the temple. The breaking of his body. Let me pick this thing for you in King James. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Okay, I'm trying to. I was in verse 19. Yeah, okay. So I'm going to verse 20. Should I do New King James? Let's see. I'm just trying to use a language. All right. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. All right? Because NLT didn't bring out that flesh part, so I'm trying to find it for you here. That is his flesh. So having a high priest over the house of God, so his flesh, his body. So back again to NLT. So we'll read verse 19 again. All right? So brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter, okay, heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus by his death. NLT uses. I was trying to show you flesh, meaning I was connecting it to the breaking of his body. All right? So we say, oh, his body was broken from his body. It wasn't just broken, you know, of, oh, so I'm healed. No, his body, the rendering of his flesh. All right? The destruction of his flesh, which is, of course, his death. All right? Opened because the moment he cried, it is finished. Temple tour. And God says, this thing is available to you. Chapter 9. Glory to God. Chapter 9. From verse 18 of chapter 9. This is why even the first covenant was put in effect with the blood of animals. For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats along with water and sprinkled both the book of God's law and all the people using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Then he said, this blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. In the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacles and on everything used for worship. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified. How? With blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is what? No forgiveness. Or King James says, no remission of sins. So I'm connecting this together with our first line of thought, you know, Leviticus 17 and 11. All right. So the it's by blood that there is an atonement. It's by blood. So by the shedding of blood, all right, there's remissions. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. 23, that is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of the things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. But the real things in heaven had to be purified by far better sacrifice than the blood of animals. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter, hallelujah, he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once and for all, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So Jesus offered up his blood. Why? Because it's only by blood that there's remission of sin. There's no sin, none that can ever be conceived in the human mind or by the human body or alien influence. No sin that has never and can never be dealt with by the precious blood of Jesus. His one sacrifice dealt with the sin of all humanity. And then his body was broken to give us access. Access into the very holy place. Maybe you're listening to me this morning, you've not prayed well in the last few weeks. You have access. Yes, you might right now be fleshly ruled. Paul used the word carnal, you know, in 1 Corinthians 3. You might be ruled by senses, ruled by your flesh. You've not had enough time to pray. You right there where you are the temple of God. You're the very temple of the very God of heaven. You right there right now. So you don't need 10 minutes to boot. You don't need 3 minutes to boot. You, the moment you decide to pray, temple has kicked back its duties. You right there. You right there. So you don't have to wait through mountains of carnality to talk to God. Yes, you might need to now put your body on a process of putting it under, you know, cut food here, cut some habits there. Yes, yes, yes. But you now can talk to him now. You have access. And your prayers are important to him now. What if I've done a whole lot? He still wants to hear you say, Father, I did X, Y, Z. I'm sorry about it. You have access. You have access into the most holy place. You are born there. You are born for that access. You are born for it. His resurrection is not just time for rice and chicken. It's time to remind ourselves that this was when the church was born. This was when we were given access. Romans chapter 4. This was when the church was born. All this is available for us, guys, in the Bible. All this is available for us. We can't just open the scriptures and not want to read. I mean, we should endeavor to understand what is available. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and by his resurrection, we're united with God. So the next verse, which is chapter 5 and verse 1, says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight. Don't forget, let's go to chapter 4 again, verse 25. He was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right. So his resurrection brought us rightness, brought us into God's good book. All right, chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight because of his resurrection, that is, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Verse 2 now, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I'll take verse 2 again. Because of our faith in Christ, he has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. He has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. We have access, King James says, into the grace wherein we stand. Access. So, child of God, what you have now is access. What you have access to God's grace. You have access to God's mercy. You have access to God's wisdom. You have access to God's resources. Yes, you have access. The dividing wall has been broken. The curtain has been torn. What else are we waiting for? You have been brought into the house. You have access. So very many things we're trying to help believers with through very many methods, you know, human thinking. If we're not careful, we're going to bring in Babylonian systems into the church as if the word of God is not enough. Listen, God's word is enough. God's word is enough. God's word, what he has proved. So the reason why we would always fall back on the Babylonian system is because we've not understood well the power of God. That's the only reason, and I'll just leave it just where I said. But the reason why, you know, we fall back on the Babylonian system is simply because we've not understood very well the power of God. And we cannot effectively understand if we don't spend time reading it. I'm sure there are very, very many verses we've read this morning that some of us are seeing for the very first time. And some of us for the first time in a long time. And these are the terms. These are the, a will was written for us. These are the things inside the will. We need to be aware of it. We'll keep mingling the Old Testament into the New Testament if we don't understand the book of Hebrews, the book of Galatians, the book of Romans. You'll keep mixing things, and we do a lot of that. We sing songs. You know, some of you wonder, why don't they sing this in our church? Why don't they sing this one in our church? Why don't they sing this one? And then when I go to another church, I enjoy it. I dance very well. I feel you, but we cannot remain at lower levels of understanding and revelation when we can come up higher. And we still don't have the height of it. We're still learning it and we're still growing in it. But at least let's stay at this height and climb up together. Don't take it back down. Don't take it back down. All right? Don't take it back down. He's done so much for us. When he said it is finished, he brought us into. That was what it typified, it signified. All right? And as I round up this morning, I just drop a thought, maybe two. Number one, what he did in the 3 days of his death, burial, and resurrection, he did for us. But like we've taught also, which we need to teach a lot more, he did with us. Please understand that. What he did in his death, burial, and resurrection, those 3 days, those classic, forever to be reverenced, 3 days, he did for us. Substitution. He took our place. He hung on the cross. We weren't there. All right? He died. We weren't there. All right? He was made alive. We weren't there. He resurrected. We weren't there. He ascended. We weren't there. He seated. We weren't there. If you remember what Hebrews said, he's now in the presence of God for us. So you can teach it from the light of substitution, and that must be taught. Taught well. So I will first understand, you know, because he used to say, I'm still with him. The person who sat that we're sitting with, what did he go through to sit there? So you now have to read a place like Philippians chapter 2 that says, let this mind be in you. That's from verse 5, which was also in Christ, who was equal to God, but didn't think it robbery, you know, to be equal, because he was already, but he humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a man, and he submitted him unto death, the death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalts him, the Bible says. All right? And gave him a name above every name, at the name of Jesus. So you need to know this person I'm honoring like this. And I'm now sharing, I'm here, God. Yes, so join there with Jesus. I mean, it's in our confession. But we even need to know what he did for us to get it. So how did he get the name? Hebrews chapter 1 also said, when he had by himself purged our sins, then he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we are seated with him, but how did he get to sit there? So when we understand the substitutionary work of Jesus, of the things he went through, the things he did to get to where he is, we will place a higher value on how we are now sitting where we are. If not, maybe that's why the body of Christ doesn't even have a value, for we're seated together. We don't even know what it costs. We don't know what it means. We don't know anything about it. So demons can choke us when we're sleeping, we're afraid to travel, or, you know, things are happening to us, we're running away, you know, they say there's sickness, everybody's hiding, you know, because we don't know what anybody paid for. We don't know what he took him. They slapped him, punctured him, beat him, pierced him, and all that was just physical. And then we try to watch Passion of the Christ for crying. Mel Gibson did a good job, but still can't depict what Jesus went through. And each wipe on his back was pulling out his skin. And by the time, if you remember the Bible now, by the time there were two other, you know, thieves, there were two thieves beside him, one on the left, the other on the right. By the time they were now trying to come break their bones so they can hasten their death because of the Passover, Jesus was already dead. But so that they could be sure, they pierced his side. Blood and water gushed out, which showed that his heart had already ruptured. He was dead. He gave up the ghost. We read all that one today. He didn't wait for them to kill him. He released himself. Oh, that is a miracle on his own. So, you know, because we have a lot available for us that we don't value. We don't value, and maybe because we don't understand substitution. But the next light on substitution is identification. But you must know what he even went through. He paid the price, though. He now sat somewhere that he paid to get to. He now said, no, honey, you're sitting with me. Ha! Ah, whoa! Oh my goodness! And then you understand the power of that place. All right, so that's one light. I said two things. All right, as I close, one is the fact that in his death, burial, resurrection, he did the things he did for us. But he actually did them with us. So you died with him. You were crucified with him. You were buried with him. You were raised together with him. Now you are made to sit together. What a privilege. What a life. What a life. And the second thing we need to pick from this season is through his death, burial, and resurrection. You know he died? So he died twice. All right, he died first spiritually when, you know, sin disconnected him from God. Does anybody born again is spiritual? Not born again, rather, he's spiritually dead. All right, God told Adam, if you eat this, you die. Adam died, so spiritual death. So Jesus tasted of spiritual death. So through this death, burial, resurrection, he was made alive again. All right, Bible says we're made alive together with Christ. He wouldn't have been made alive if he didn't taste death. So we're made alive with him. All right. So in him being made alive, that's why he became the firstborn from the dead. He died and he was born. And then we were born with him in him. But get this. So first one is substitution and identification. Second thing we pick from this season is we were made new creature. This was when the new creation was born. Oh, glory to God. This is it. And Romans 6 says we've been brought into newness of life. So you're not the old self. You're not the old angry self. So all this, I know myself, I'm always angry. No, not you. Not you. Not you. Me, I don't forgive people easily. Not you. And we've been talking about love work for a while now. Still going to keep at it. So just let's hook up again Wednesday, you know, 6 to 7, and then we'll be at that. Not you, not you. This new you now has the love of God poured into your heart. This new creation you is as he is in this world, just like Jesus. This new creation you is a brand new being. Your past is gone. Your new life has begun. This new creation you has love, joy, peace, long suffering. This new creation. So the new creation was born this weekend. It's when you now believe in what he did this weekend, you get born again. That's why you must confess with your mouth, you know, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Because that was when the new creation was born. Oh, isn't it exciting to know what he did for us? That by the shedding of his blood, humanity's sin is forever remitted. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The blood of bulls and of goats cannot do the job. God knew that. But God had to put that available so that Christ would only come once at the end of the age. And you read all that today. And I want to encourage you, all right, to get ready. We need to get more and more into God's word. So it's at this weekend. So this is where our faith hooks up. So it's believing what he did for us this weekend that translates us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This is how we get delivered, by believing. This is what we believe, that John 5 now tells us in verse 24, whoever believes my word has eternal life, will not come into condemnation, but he has passed from death into life. We have 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 passed by the work of Jesus. He moved from death to life. We moved together with him because we could never move by ourselves. He moved from darkness into light. We could never do it by ourselves. Oh, but in him we moved. In him we stand. In him we have access. Glory to God. So we curse every sickness and every disease. We curse every ailment upon anybody that is listening in this morning. We curse that sickness. We declare that in the name of Jesus you are healed. In the name of Jesus, by the finished work of Christ, we command that you are free from that ailment, free from that infirmity. In the name of Jesus, we also command a full supply of favor. We command supply of wisdom because Christ has now been made to us wisdom. We declare that this season you will not be stranded. This season and beyond, you will never be stranded. That you will enjoy grace upon grace. You will enjoy favor upon favor. In the name of Jesus, we speak once again health to your body, health to your limbs, health to your bones. Any place that hurts, any place that pains, I speak power and life to you. Go ahead, join in agreement. Speak to your body now. I speak to that backache. I speak to that neck pain. I speak to that injury. I call it to heal up, heal up. Heal up that injury. You heal up. You heal up. You heal up in the name of Jesus. Speak to the pain. the pain in the back. I call it healed. I call it healed. That I can turn because you're healed. You can move because you're healed. You can move. I declare from the top of your head to the soles of your feet that you are healed. You are healed. Why? He took your infirmities. He carried away your sicknesses. The chastisement of your peace was on him by his wounds. You are healed. You were healed. Then we declare your healing now. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. You are free. Yes, you are free. And he became poor that you might be rich. So we declare you, your status is the rich man in Christ. That's who you are. So we call forth favor. We call forth understanding. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, by his blood, we've been made free. By his blood, we've been redeemed. By his finished work, his death, burial, and resurrection, we were made new creatures. Oh, we're brand new, having full access into the very throne room. Very throne room. Now, God making us even his own temple. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. What a new life. What new creatures with the love of God poured out into our hearts. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I believe that was wonderful. I believe you learned something. Yeah, so feel free, comment. Let's know what you heard, what you learned. You know, it's wonderful. You could comment right here on the Spreaker platform. Just say, hey, wow, that was awesome. All right, I learned this. Glory to God. And I know some of you have been commenting already, you know, as the service was going on. And I thank God for it. Okay, now there's this series. You might have received an email from the ministry yesterday, or just check if you have received emails before. Because of the registrations we've done for the Influence of the Spirit, you should have an email. You could check your spam and all. But outside that, I'll just ask the leaders also to, which I'm sure some of them have started doing, send out the message. Now, we made available a classic, a 2014 classic, all right, a 12-part message, Understanding Life. A 12-part message. I want this message to travel far, far. All right. I've been busy sharing since yesterday with people. All right. We're making it. We're doing something. I'm putting the notice also on social media. You know, that should be this evening. I want the message to travel far. Why? Because as a ministry, we're born to be a blessing to people. All right. We're born to be a blessing. All right. We're born to be a blessing. Someone says, why don't we sell? God called us to be a blessing. All right, money will come. All right, there's so much. If you sold $5 million to the ministry right now, I'm sure I'll be happy to buy equipment. All right, the last cameras we used for the Influence of the Spirit, everything's always usually rented. You know, so one of it, I mean, is like $500,000, just one of it. You know, I'm not sure. You know, that's all about the camera. Some are like 700K, you know, and all the lights and everything. So if you say I have $500,000, this means she doesn't need it. Hope you notice how I laughed. All right. So I'm saying, but if God, all right, if we're not careful, we'll be looking for how to be monetizing, how to, let's charge this money for you to download. Let's do this for you. No, it's free. Let's spread the message. The only thing it will cost anybody right now is download data. And I'm not sure that's anything like how people download movies and Netflix and everything. All right. So please let the message go out. Understanding Life. It's free. It's our gift to people this season. In fact, good news also is we're working, you know, and then the media team and, you know, some other people are working, you know, to help us, you know, to make over 100 of our messages available. I mean, just hang around, all right? Messages are going to be up on the website. You know, blogs are going to be posted every day. We just want people to come and feed on the word of life and be transformed. The ultimate thing that can change anybody's life is God's word. Other things we picked from the Babylonian system can only go so far. The key to transformation is the word of God. All right? They cried out to God in their distress. He sent his word. He could have sent anything else. It was his word he sent. If God is not smart enough to have sent his word, then there's no other smartness anywhere. All right? We stick to the word. Amen? All right? So please, Understanding Life. But now, this is where the announcement really is. Number one, which I've said, let it travel. Let it travel. All right? Let it travel. But number two, can it be what we as a ministry digest this season, this week into next week, maybe the next 2 weeks? 12 messages, you have the time. I know you do. All right. Even if you pick one a day, in 12 days, you're done. Put one on repeat every day if that's what you want to do. Day one, which could be tomorrow, part one. Day two on Tuesday, part two. Day three, Wednesday, part three. Please. All right. I want to encourage you. It'll transform us. It will increase our revelation knowledge. It will bless us. Amen. Praise God. Ha, ha, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we've had a great service. Please, on Wednesday, let's hook up again, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Links will be shared out. You could download the Spreaker app. That might make it easier for you. Of course, you find other podcasts there. So what about giving? I've explained, you know, if you heard on Wednesday again, I said no pressures about it. But in case you have that, you have set your mind to give very well, go ahead. All right, the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians 9, Philly gave. I told everybody that maybe on Sunday we'll give, but I still feel there's no pressures, all right? No pressures about that. Yes, if people reach out to church, what would they give? I mean, church also needs to have to give. I know that, but understand that everybody in this season, this is my clear point, everybody this season should be a giver. And there are people around you can give something to. There are people far away you can send something through, all right? Everybody be a giver. Is that okay? I think I'll still like to end it on that note, all right? Be a giver. No pressures. Oh, offering, no pressure. Oh, I didn't give offering last Sunday too. No pressure. But please, be a giver. Find something. Bless somebody. Even if it's a phone call blessing, be a giver this season. Learn it. And after this season, continue, please, to be a giver. Because there is no full expression of love if giving is absent. Is that all right? There's no full expression of love if giving is absent. So sometimes you might say, oh, but you didn't give here. So we might not know that you might have given somewhere, you know, to someone, you know, someone who needed food, someone who hasn't eaten in 3 days, you know. So give, all right? We're believers and we're called to give. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's been wonderful, you know, hanging out with you all on the radio church this morning. Thank you, thank you. And the revelation, may the revelation of this season, may it fill our hearts. All right, like Paul was praying in Ephesians 1, that we may know the exceeding greatness of his power, you know, that is made available to us, which is the exact power God used to raise Jesus from the dead. All right, so that's the revelation of this season. All right, may it flood our hearts, fill our hearts, flood our minds, fill our minds. May it fill our lives, fill every part of us. May it fill us to the overflow. All right, in the name of Jesus. Have a very, 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 very wonderful day. Bye.
You're the beauty that made these earth adore you. Hope of my life spent with you. You're all together lovely.
You're altogether worthy. You're altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
Yes,
you're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
That's who you are 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 to me. That's who you are to me.
That's who you are to me.
Hey, that's who you are to me. That's who you are to me. That's who you are to me.
Together.